from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Bob Brad. Listen to the crickets. No, not those crickets, you fool! The insects! That's Rachel Brunston's garden. We'll say hello to her in a second. Wish the crickets are sure up. Cool, they are loud. This is Postcard from Pop Brad. This week, Eric and Rachel, because Lee keeps talking to the great white telephone. I'm not going any further. With your alternative sideways look at the news, I'm based over in Pop Brad in Slovakia, hence the name of the programme, at the base of the glorious snow-covered Tatry Mountains. And it's a bright blue sky and it's wonderful. Oh, it's amazing. Hello, Rach.
Hello, I'm all for ambience, but it's really annoying, so I'm going to go inside now.
I think that's probably a good idea, yes. Yes, that's, well, sound effects over, just to prove that it is a real thing, and not make pretend. See, the noise is gone now. Oh, mm-hmm. What do you mean it was a sound effect you were running, you cynical so-and-so? No, it was not. hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay, Breeze, and wherever else you are, and thank you so much. For all the wonderful comments about the last show we did, and for the amazing number of people we know guaranteed listened to it, which is superb, absolutely superb. And when I showed somebody the figures of those listening on a Windows 8 mobile telephone, they went, blimey, that's bigger than the BBC get. Didn't we do well, gal?
We had doctors and sidekicks and writers and all sorts. We did well.
We did well indeed. By the way, boys and girls, there is going to be a follow-up program with the doctors going around the world, would you believe, courtesy of the BBC, because they've just kind of told me that this morning. Anyway, we move on. A place that's probably best known in Europe, but also around the world, Bletchley Park. One of the code breakers is now, as they say on radio, a silent key. Mavis Beatty worked throughout the war on cracking the Enigma codes, which have been serialised in books. It's been on the film. I'm sure you've seen the book, and you've seen the movie, rather.
Yeah, and I've seen a really interesting biography quite recently about this nice lady.
Really?
And, it was on our History Channel here.
Ah, because you're like me, you're a History Channel waller, aren't you?
Well, I hang around there a bit. I hang around the Crime Channel a little bit too much. Anybody will tell you. But to me, that's a DIY channel, so that's fine.
Okay, good. Yes, I like that.
But the History Channel, Rob's been watching it forever and a day. He loves his history, so it's on all the time, and I sort of absorb it without trying to. But he said you should really watch some of these, and I've been probably spending a little bit much time spending, you know, hanging around the Nazi party and Hitler and stuff on the History Channel. I think I'm well schooled in that now. But I thought, this looks interesting. This is about a nice lady, and it was all about her. And I thought, wow, that's really incredible. It's an incredible story of her life and everything else. But you know what struck me about her passing was that she passed on Armistice Day.
Yeah, exactly, which is quite sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Wow. It's real sort of bittersweet ending to the story, but she was no fool, that's for sure.
Yeah, Rob's going to hate me for this. By the way, Rob's Rachel's partner, and he's going to hate me for this, Rach.
Why?
Because you're going to love it. Do you happen to know why so many radio operators in the Second World War were women?
Probably because they're smarter and quicker than anybody else.
Unfortunately, yes. But they were smarter and quicker at learning Morse code, and one of the theories was that they, because it's an inbuilt mummy thing, where you hear child cry and all that sort of stuff, which blokes never hear, the way that they could tune their ear to Morse code was so much quicker than guys. And that's why you had so many of the girls in the serious control rooms and in the radio rooms working there, not alongside men, alongside more women. and they were basically controlling everything.
That makes a lot of sense.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Well, you know, what else was I going to say, really? Yeah. I was going to say, oh, that's a bit of an HR upset.
Sorry.
But no, it's true. We do hear things differently than you do, and that's just the fact of the matter. And sometimes it's to our advantage and sometimes it's not.
Really?
Hmm.
So could you explain to me why when I hear yes from a girl, it really means no?
It's the spirit in which the yes is delivered.
We move on. The last of the I Love Lucy actresses has died. Shirley Mitchell, age 94, which is a grand old age, Sam. Well done to you. And the funny thing is, I Love Lucy still keeps coming back on the television.
It's everywhere. It's always on somewhere on the planet. It's always running. There's always something you can count on seeing everywhere. There are a few shows that you can always count on.
And I love Lucy. It's timeless, isn't it?
It really is. It's absolutely timeless. There's things on, like MASH, that's always on.
Yep.
Happy Days is always on. Friends is now one of those things that's always on.
Yep.
So all these things are really timeless. But basically, situational comedy is timeless. You can't, and really good sitcom, which you really find these days, is really timeless.
Yes. It's probably why I watched The Boat That Rocks more than once.
Yeah, I love that movie. I don't care what led you back. Now that he's not here, now that he's visiting with his Uncle Ralph.
Yes.
I will say emphatically again and again how much I agree with you about that. I think the film is brilliant.
Right, well, I'm now going to lean on you immensely because, as you can see, I'm now about to be lost because tributes have been paid to Sir John Taverner. He's one of the leading British composers over the last 50 years. He's died at the age of 89. And I have to say, honestly, I don't know a lot about him.
Do you know, whatever you don't know about him...
Mm.
I know less.
Really? Thank goodness for that.
Really, I never heard of him until you sent me the run order.
Really?
Really, honestly. And I feel terrible because I after reading his bio, I feel like I should have known him.
Well, I'm thinking Grammys and that's all up your street, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is all kind of, you know, choral music and church music and stuff like that, and I don't follow it.
No. I don't. To be honest, if my life depended on it right now, and I'm sorry, dear listener, if this offends you, but the only thing I could remember from Diana's funeral would have been the Elton John single, which I... It's a very difficult story, this one, even now, because I was working for a station in London at the time, and as many will remember when the late Princess Diana died... Every station in the UK went into obituary mode, or obit mode, as they call it, until the Wednesday. And the boss phoned me up. He said, do you want to do your show? And I said, I don't know, mate. I just don't know. And he said, well, I'd like you to do it. So I said, why is that? He said, I just think it will be the right way to come out of the obit. We've been told by the regulators we can come out at 8 o'clock tonight. And I just think you should do it. So I went, oh, thank you. There I am doing a talk show. To which I phoned the record company up and said, can you get us the single over? Yeah, they said, no problem, Eric. It'll be on a bike to you in about 10 minutes, which they did. So we did play the track. The trouble was I was now doing a two-hour talk show, pan-European, and the people that were there phoning in, and I have to say at this point, thank you to Chris, who was the producer at the time, because after about an hour, I was beginning to lose it, Rach.
Yeah.
I really was. And he come in and he said, Eric, you're missing it. Get the people to phone in with the positive stories about Princess Diana. And do you know what? It worked. It did work.
Yeah, it was a really terrible time. And I remember what I was doing. You're going to think this is just awful. I was in hospital having Beth.
Really?
And yeah, and I got out of hospital and she had to stay because she was early.
Mm.
She had to stay in the hospital for 4 weeks. And then I managed to get out of hospital and I was about to take her home and I was in the hospital waiting for her and I saw it on the television.
Oh, wow.
And I had to, and I took her home and I, of course, I had the baby blues, didn't I?
Oh, no.
So all that was on television was this horrible footage.
Yeah.
I was weeping like a lunatic for about a week.
Oh, my
God. It was
God.
Horrible.
Oh, no, it was really horrible. I think we'll move on. Anyway, now, this is the point where Rach and Eric will get angry. Because we've got a Lee rant one coming up later. UK border officials have seized record numbers of illegal animal products.
I can't believe this still happens. I just can't believe. I mean, I believe that it happens in some countries where animals are harvested, but I can't believe that it's getting, that people are still trying to send it to countries with really strict border control. I just don't understand how this is happening.
And the one thing I find actually offensive, more than anything else, is a Rolls-Royce car upholstered in alligator skin.
Yeah, it's repugnant. I find that really repugnant. It's almost as if to say, you know, people who can afford this sort of thing, they can do what they like. They're a law unto themselves. It just flies in the face of everything that's moral and decent and correct. It really grinds my gears, this does. It really does.
Yeah, and the trouble is it makes everybody worse in places like Africa because they're trying to scratch a living. And these idiots are fueling people scratching a living, which doesn't necessarily mean it improves their quality of life.
No, it doesn't. It makes them more desperate and they're putting themselves in more dangerous situations.
Mm.
And, you know, it's created a market for them. And I think that that's the absolute 180-degree wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to have these people putting themselves in peril. It's just like people in South America who grow
cocaine.
You know, you're creating a market and they're being put in peril. And it's just counterproductive. And what's more, it doesn't help anything at all to stop the culture of this hot, obscene practice.
I mean, what would you do with a stuffed tortoise?
Exactly. I mean, it's all it's going to do is collect dust.
Yeah.
It's something that requires dusting. And I don't want, if I want a stuffed tortoise, I can go down to Toys R Us and get one full of, you know,
cuddlies.
Stuffing.
Yes.
Much less the cuddle. It's nicer to cuddle.
And the other one that annoys me, and I speak with experience of this because I've been a sucker, not of this stuff, but other stuff. From the traditional Chinese medicine products, some of these animal bones are being ground down, the endangered species, for health and fitness slimming pills. Rubbish!
Disgusting. Well, first of all, how could that possibly work? Second of all, I mean, I'm not a doctor or I don't pretend to be a physiologist either, but geez, come on, that's a bit beyond the pale. Anybody who's buying that is an idiot.
Well,
but again, it creates a market. It creates another market for them to, you know, funnel this horrific practice into.
Well, not with animal products in. I will flag that up straight away. But I did try some of those slimming pill things that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Did they work? Nah.
No.
I have recently been, or I was shouted at and told to get my, I'll have to rephrase this, I was told to get my bottom over to Aqua City to pick up my new card because I hadn't renewed it, and that enables me to go swimming every day. Unfortunately, it also means the chairman can go to the boys in IT and say, has card number so-and-so been used today?
Mm-hmm.
So he can check up on me to see if I go swimming.
I actually don't think that's a bad idea. I think that gives you impetus to go. I mean, really, because you know you're just going to get nagged about it.
Yes.
And so you should just, like, to save the energy that you spend figuring out how to not get nagged,
yes,
you could have gone and come back.
Ah, well, that's what I've done now, you see. I've got to that solution that I'm getting nagged at by women, which is a pointless exercise.
It's you know, inevitable.
Yes, and I have to say, and I'm trying to do this in the nicest possible way, do you know how gentlemen use the belt of their jeans underneath their tummies?
Yes.
Because the tummy hangs over?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I admit, my jeans were like that.
Yes.
Today, after 2 weeks, I nearly had a mild heart attack as my jeans waistband fitted on my waist again.
I'm telling you, Uncle Eric,
yes.
It's aqua activities. Any activity in the water like that
yes.
will melt weight off you like nobody's business, way quicker than it will go in the gym, way quicker.
Really?
And, yep, way quicker than going to the gym, way quicker than running, way quicker than jogging. I don't know why. I think it's because it's resistance training as well, because you have got the resistance of the water against you. But it works. I'm telling you, it works. But after I had Beth, mm-hmm. I got into the pool in Brisbane, the public pool in Brisbane, and got a kickboard and just went up and down and up and down and up and down. It was about 5-6 weeks and I was back to normal.
That's really weird. That is weird. Sure. Do you know what? This is a true story again. This is a weird show this week, boys and girls. This is a true story. I got hold of a couple of colleagues. Well, I say colleagues. I classify them as friends now because these are guys that have been in the military and visited here through the holidays for a Heroes programme. And they go to several hospitals with spa pools and things in the UK. And I have to say, the thing that sparked me off was I knew my legs weren't working properly. Because I was walking right. about 5 metres a day. And if I could get it down to 4, it would have been. And so walking was really hurting my legs. So I phoned them up and said, look, what's the best way to do this? And they said, seriously, if you've got a spa pool with lots of water which comes up, so it's force on it, lay mm-hmm. it on your back and kick your legs against the water. Just mm-hmm. you don't have to do anything else. So I said, but that's not exercise. Oh, yes, it is. Trust me, this will work for you, Eric. And the first day I went home, my tummy muscles were killing me. My leg muscles were... I'd got muscles hurting. I'd forgotten even where they were.
That's true. Well,
no, and it works. It's terrible. So go swim, boys and girls. It's good for you. Here's the Aussie connection coming in here nicely. AC/DC.
Yeah. Hey.
Yes.
Gotta love them. Gotta love AC/DC.
Yeah. There's a huge Facebook campaign going on now, boys and girls. You can look it up on Facebook. And they've got thousands, or over 100,000. And I was looking at it just now. It had gone up something like 3,000 members since yesterday. And the idea is to get AC/DC to number one with the track Highway to Hell. That one.
Yep.
And I don't think Simon Cowell's going to be very happy, do you?
I don't think he is, because it means he won't have one of his many nieces or nephews.
What do you mean nieces or nephews?
I always call them his nieces, their nieces and nephews. You know, his nephews, One Direction, were in Australia recently. He's got nieces and nephews everywhere, and they're all signed to his. They're all signed to his own little label there, and he makes a lot of money. But AC/DC's Highway to Hell's got to be 40 years old.
Yes.
So, which is so awesome, and I didn't even realise it was that old. I haven't been paying attention. Clearly, I haven't been paying attention. But, yeah, Highway to Hell is 40 years old, and they want to get to number one, and I reckon they will, because they've got such an enormous and deep fan base.
Yeah.
It spreads across the world, and it's deep from, you know, from 5 to 105.
Yeah. It's about the same as status quo people. You go to one of their concerts, you've got teenagers to grandmothers.
It's true.
I know.
And I mean, you know, everybody knows, and I mean, the Rolling Stones are the same.
Well, there are limits.
Inexplicably, I don't know why. But,
no.
You know, they do have a large range in their audiences. When they come to Australia, it's young'uns and it's old'uns and it's, you know, everybody in between. But I think, you know, knocking one of these, you know, bubblegum cookie cutter, you know, horrible stamp licking people off the top of the charts at Christmas would be brilliant.
No, do you know, there's only one problem with all of this.
What's that?
There was a big interview in one of the UK newspapers this week with Simon Cowell. And, you know, everywhere you go at the minute, everyone's banging on about you must get this, that and the other and like a university degree, which is worthless. And Simon Cowell's come out and said, I didn't need no education. And apparently he was rubbish at school, hated it to bits, and says, I've got £200 million, so I'm not doing so bad, am I?
Yeah, he's right, though.
He is.
but it really does, it's not a great lesson for the, you know, for his nieces and nephews,
no,
even.
That's true. But I have to tell you, boys and girls, there is no university degree for what Rachel and I are doing now.
It's not.
No.
They have tried it in several places, but what we do cannot be taught.
No, that's very true. anyway, by now, boys and girls, the track Highway to Hell is now available on download, so you can download it to try and get it to number one. And I just think that would be so funny for AC/DC to be at number one, not because of the name of the track, but just to screw up some of the fake music that comes out at Christmas time. Already getting deluged with people going, I've got a new single out, and I've listened to some of them, and I wouldn't play them to my enemies.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. I nearly drove my car up a pole today, Uncle Eric.
No.
I was driving down the road, minding my own business, listening to my local radio station, which I always listen to when I'm in the car, and all of a sudden, 5, 6, 7, 8 by Steps came on.
No, that's all right.
I nearly drove up.
5, 6, 7, 8
I'm here, my boot scooting baby, and lyrics such as these, and I very nearly crashed off the road. And it's about this time of year that they start churning out this stuff because people want a new ringtone, and people want this, and people want that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nope. So go to Facebook and support AC/DC's campaign to get to number one. And buy the single because, you know what? Everybody needs Highway to Hell in their catalogue
regardless. They do. I would love to see Greg Lake's I Believe in Father Christmas at number one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you know the track?
No.
You what? You don't?
I really don't.
You should go and have a listen to I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake, one of the most amazing Christmas productions ever. A lot of it was recorded in overdrive, I think, by the sound of it, if they had overdrive all those years back. And it's done it now. The hairs on my arm are standing up just hearing it in my brain. It's the most awesome Christmas track ever. If you haven't got it...
Very cool experience, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about the programmes earlier. Taxi, another one of those timeless sitcoms. Ah!
That show, it was so good.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it would appear, and we don't know if this is true, but Andy Kaufman, who was I can't remember what country he was supposed to be from, but I know it was somewhere around where I am now, in Central Europe. But anyway, he was, and he always talked in pidgin English. And there was a thing about him dying. Now, this woman's come out of nowhere and said, I'm his daughter, and he didn't really die. He just wanted to get out of show business somewhere or other and just be a stay-at-home dad. And do you know what? I can understand that.
Yes.
How else?
I've got to correct you on something, though. He's American.
Yeah.
The character that he did, he used to carry that off stage and talk to people in that character.
Really?
And people used to be absolutely convinced that he was from somewhere in Eastern Europe and he was this and that and everything else. Then all of a sudden he'd start speaking with his American accent if he got a surprise. That's how he met his manager, which was brilliant. Have you seen Man on the Moon?
No.
Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon, and it's the biopic of his life.
Right.
And you should see it because it's brilliant. And Jim Carrey's brilliant anyway.
Oh, I love Jim Carrey. He's a good, absolutely.
He's brilliant in this. He's brilliant. He channeled Andy Kaufman through this whole film. But Andy Kaufman was a really peculiar, strange guy. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if he'd done this, but I just thought, would he put people through that? Would he put people through that, you know, his friends and his colleagues and everybody else? Because he wouldn't be able to tell people.
No, but if he was getting
would he put them through it?
Well, if he's getting stress rage about the celebrity lifestyle that he must have suffered, then that's where my empathy comes in.
Mm.
A bit. But anyway, let's hope he's still around. It would be nice.
Let's.
Yeah, let's indeed. Let's go to Melbourne, Australia. A woman who turned down an older man's offer of marriage has been stunned by a £115,000 bill for everything that he spent... Oh, Rob, take notice. For everything that he spent on her, which was luxury this, luxury that. And now he's decided he wants all of his money back. He's got to be barking mad, hasn't he?
Well, this whole story kind of stinks to high heaven. Apparently they were friends. He went to get dance lessons and she taught him how to dance.
Right.
This fellow, Bruce, who's 65 years old, Bruce.
Yeah.
And he clearly was smitten by her. He's got a lot of money. They became friends, and over a period of 4 years, she claims that she was his office assistant, which she never got paid for.
Right.
And he then sort of gave her gifts and whatnot. There was one loan that she said was – there was a loan of $25,000, I think it is.
Yep.
And how many poundage is that?
Nearly £15,000.
Yes. So she's claiming that was a loan. He's claiming, nope, this wasn't loaned. You know, I gave her all this and I gave her this and I gave her that. And I have two schools of thought. So he says, marry me. And she says, no, I don't want to marry you. And all of a sudden she gets a bill. There's two schools of thought here. A, if she was a really, truly bona fide gold digger,
yep,
she would have married him, right?
Absolutely.
And if he's mistakenly, and the other thing too is like never ever accept, you know, presents from people, you know, over and over and over again in excess like that. She should have said no to him.
Yep.
But, you know, she could have taken him for more had she said, yeah, I'll marry you.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's saying that he can't dance anymore. He's blaming her for that. He says physically he probably can, but mentally he just can't. He's too traumatised. I'm like, well, whatever, dude.
65 years old.
Go online and figure it out.
65 years old, and he's lost the will to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Has he got a very sort of good lawyer or something, or a very I want to get rich lawyer?
I don't know. I don't even know who's. I mean, she probably would have had to get some sort of legal representation. I don't know if he has or not. There's so much about this story that we don't know.
Right.
So it's a real he said, she said, but it's ludicrous. The very notion of it seems to be ludicrous to me. I mean, she could have gone so much further than she went.
Mm.
He's claiming that she needed money for emergency surgery,
mm-hmm,
and there's no such thing in Australia.
Is there not?
No, you don't pay for emergency surgery. Either Medicare covers it or you get it covered under private health insurance if you go to a private hospital and have it. So you don't...
Oh, no such is there some brown smelly stuff in this then?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of it. And then he's saying that that she paid for her boob augmentation with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she would have to pay cash for service like that.
Yeah.
But that's not an emergency surgery. She said she never said anything about any emergency surgery, and none of the money that she got from him went towards any cosmetic surgery anyway.
So basically, are we saying this is a silly old duffer who should have known better?
I'm calling shenanigans, yes.
Oh, right. Okay. We've got to remind people quickly that we are planning a tech special shortly where you can get hold of Rachel, get hold of me, or get hold of Lee, or the station you're listening to us on, and email in with your questions that we will do our level best to answer. Can't promise them all, but we'll do our level best. So the mm-hmm. tech special is coming up soon, and due to popular demand over Christmas, we're also going to put another one of those Petra throwing us the questions shows. That should be fun. See you in part two!
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-S.